Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Now listen, all coins have two sides. You want to tell me that if the Giants had a kicker, they might have won? You're right. They didn't. Shout out to Chucky Kickass on Twitter. Just tweeted me. He said, the defense definitely needs work, but for a little bit of optimism, if Washington had scored touchdowns on just half of their red zone attempts, it would have been a blowout.
Yeah.
Like, yo, there was a path for the Giants to win that game. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Injuries impacted that. There was also a path for the Burgundy Gold to put up 35.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, go back to Tampa. Zach Ertz said this in the locker room last week, and I thought it was really interesting. He's like, listen, man, I recognize people are worried about it, but if York had just made the two kickoffs he missed, they would have scored on 5 of 8 possessions, which would have put them top 5 most efficient offenses in the NFL in week 1.
Mm-hmm.
I got concerns. I think the defense is a real... I'm going to try to be positive, work in progress.
It is a work in progress, and we need to see it. And listen, I think more people are critical of it because you got the D coach, defensive coach comes in.
Sure.
And the effectiveness they had against us in Dallas.
Well, you start to wonder, you know, scheme versus talent from Dallas.
I don't worry that because I just saw New Orleans run 44 up on them.
Yeah.
So we can't just look at that. So maybe that last week was just window dressing for Dallas. That may be what we saw yesterday.
Tampa might be good. A lot of folks been on hold a long time, so we're going to do this. JT's got a credit pie for me. JT, hit me.
Good afternoon, guys. My credit pie for yesterday is as follows. I split B. Robin Eckler, 25 apiece. I've got Seibert with 30, Jaden with 10, both Ertz and BSJ got 5. And then I got what I call the Bonehead Award, and I gave that to Adam Peters. And I gave it to Adam. I know he was able to find Seibert, but, guys, remember when we first started down this road of the new regime and we said that they had a lot of cap space. And I know they weren't trying to really spend it all, but when you go into a season knowing that both your two bookends were traded in the offseason and you don't really have a strong secondary, I thought that, you know, they would have been able to find somebody to bring in here to either strengthen either the pass rush or the secondary. And so far, that has not happened. So that's what I got for my report card.
I appreciate the call, dude. So that's an interesting question because I heard this. I heard this yesterday in the press box from other dudes, people that I know and respect and appreciate that just said, why didn't they spend any money? They have all this cap space left over. Listen, if you and I, Brian and Lamphill and Jeff, knew that the secondary had some real holes in it,
mm-hmm.
they did too, and they didn't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. They knew they lost Sweat and Young and didn't do anything about it. They did. Now, that's not to say they didn't sign some patchwork one-year veteran contracts, and Dorrance Armstrong might be more than that. But by and large, they were willing to roll into this season without any major push from a free agency standpoint.
Yeah.
I don't see why people are confused. Go look at what they did with the Niners. They built it for the long term. And if you were to spend a bunch of money on somebody right now, in 2 years, when maybe you're really ready to compete, your finances
are going to be out of whack.
Right.
See, the thing about it is this is where I'm at. Like, that caller right there, that caller must think that we are in position this year to be competing for an NFC championship. I don't think we are.
Well, see,
I don't think if we sign one pass rusher and he's going to get 18, 19, 20 million a year, I don't think we're there.
I think the difference is, there, the NFL is so smart in that almost everybody till the end is competing for a playoff spot, right? The league is designed for teams to go about 500.
It's designed for that, but that doesn't happen very often.
And they've expanded the playoffs now. So yeah. You got seven teams getting in, you got three wild cards, and what happens is like at least until Thanksgiving, just about everybody but the Panthers is going to be in the hunt. And So people are like, "Oh man, well we could get in the playoffs." But what have we seen in Washington over the last 25
get in the playoffs
years?
And get beat by 20?
And then you fall back down. I think They want to progress over time to build this up.
We've talked about this since Adam was hired. I say what they're trying to do is build a great foundation, and then they're going to start. They're trying to do this so they can compete for years to where now when – and they say they want to do it through the draft. So as the draft pick starts to mature, you're going to start now having it to where you can stay good longer instead of having a one-hit wonder, and then you're out. And that's where it's at. So I'd much rather them do it this way instead of do it the – this is the thing. Everybody was jumping for joy when Dan was gone and all those people who were doing that every year. Now you got people that's doing it the right way to make it go, and you don't like that either. So what is it?
JJ is online too. JJ, what you got, bud?
How we doing? How we doing, Hall of Fame B. Mitch and JP?
Good.
Here's my credit ply. I got the kicker, 25%. I got JD, 20%. The running backs, 20%. That's Eckler and B-Rob. Cliff, 15%. St. Jude, 10%. Ertz, 5%. And Noah, 5%. That's my credit plot. But I also want to add to the comment, okay? This is for the fans, okay? Let them know, recognize that when Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch was up in the 49ers after the Kaepernick era, 49ers were sorry, okay? They didn't win immediately when Lynch and Shanahan got there, okay? They had to build that up. And once they build that up, that's when they start winning. Remember, they had C.J. Beathard. They were sorry when they had C.J. Beathard, okay? So that's just something for the fans. It takes time.
All right, brother.
It takes time, man. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm checking in on the chat for the first time in a while here. And there are some folks that remain concerned, and we have to address this at some point, and I feel like we have, but we'll directly address it, concerned about Jaden running and taking the hits. I think he took some big old hits inside the pocket. I think he's a runner, and he's really, really good at it, and you don't want to eliminate that. I also think over the course of the season and given time, a lot of this will kind of work itself out.
It will.
His carries dropped from 16 to 10 in this game. Now, he was sacked more. I just think, I don't know. Where do you land on, like, I saw this, and perhaps this person's a troll. I don't know. But I've heard this, seen this from a lot of places, that, yo, if he keeps running like this, his career is just going to be too short.
I'm not going to buy it. I mean, I think that he'll learn over time. I think he tried. Like, the one where he got hit by one guy, and that wasn't a hard hit. Then the guy came in and speared him. Okay, yeah, if you get speared and the referee let it happen, then other people keep doing it. But I don't think the running hits were as hard as the one in the pocket. And I think the problem with me is people always talk about the running. He gets hit in the pocket harder than he does when he runs. So What are you saying? You don't
you
want
get
him to get
hit hard in lots of places.
You don't want him to get hit at all? I mean, it's football. You're going to get hit. But as I watched the game yesterday, me and Santana both said, yes, we understand you want him to run less. But please don't make him start thinking about, oh, should I not? Because that right there makes him exceptional. You don't ever want him to start questioning that because that hesitation might get him hurt. Let the dude go, but he'll learn. You know, but you get hit in football. Over and over again, you get hit.
Let's get to these phones. We're going in order of hold. Russell, what do you got, Russ?
Yo, man, I'm just saying he's learning. You know, he's going to learn. He's going to do good, man, I think. You know, he just, you know, everybody's on him for running and stuff. And, you know, hey, Blaine Pye, you know, I still think it's preseason. Let's get to game 5 and 6, man. I'll put $100 over here at Charlestown Track on this jumping and the false starts. It ain't going to happen again. his preseason still, I feel like that, and they're getting better. Payne and Allen, I mean, this is only the second game. And shout out to B. Mitch's hometown. They whipped up on the Cowgirls. They served them a little ass whipping. And that interception yesterday, Cincinnati did.
Thanks for the call.
I watched football for 50.
I feel like he was cutting out. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Okay. I'm just going to give a shout out to that guy that did that interception yesterday.
One-handed.
That was wild.
I'm going to tell you what, that was awesome. Yeah. Hey, y'all have a good day. Thank you.
All right, bro. Be cool, man.
Thanks, buddy. We haven't checked in with Jeffrey and with Landfill for credit pies. Because Jeff kept asking us about blame pies, I feel like Landfill understands the assignment better. But because Daniel, the engineer, just walked in to talk to Landfill, we're going to start with Jeff. Jeffrey, what's your credit pie look like?
This credit pie, it's pretty simple. I'm going 50% special teams, 25% Jaden Daniels, 25% running back room. Jaden did a lot of things to avoid sacks. He didn't turn the ball over yesterday. The running back room looked phenomenal. B-Rob, it's only a matter of time before we see him breaking an 80-yard touchdown run because it's hard to take that man down. I like how Cliff uses Austin Ekeler, especially on that last play where – it went, like, to the right, and then you just see Austin coming around, and Jaden hits him on the – it's like a swing pass. They were just phenomenal, man. And that's all my credit pie for this week. Everything else, man, we got to talk about.
We are getting to it. We got a whole week to talk about this. Today is celebration day. We got tomorrow and Wednesday before we really get into it. You know what I mean?
There's time for both. There's certainly time for both. I think, you know, a lot of folks question the Ekeler signing. He's looked fantastic. He's looked really, really good.
He has looked fantastic the whole time. And as I said before, and I, you know, people get mad if you want, we have a lot of questioning of everything that happens. And then when things start going well, you know what those people do? They don't say anything. They don't say, okay, he's all right. Give him a little credit. But if he goes bad, they'll definitely tell you that.
I mean, yesterday is a pretty unique scenario where you're able to win the game with 7 field goals. Like, it's not a formula to emulate.
It ain't a formula to emulate, but you go out there and you do what the hell you can that day to win the game. It doesn't make a difference how it goes. No one wants to go out there and kick 7 field goals.
Right.
So if you win the game, that's all that matters, because I think the set out is to win the game, get a victory, not get 300 yards passing, not get 200 yards rushing, win the game.
Landini, what's your credit pie look like?
Okay. I've got 40% to Seibert.
I tell you what didn't make it easy yesterday is the amount of people in official capacities pronouncing his name differently.
I have no idea how to say it.
Like, when they signed the guy, I reached out to someone. I said, tell me how to say this so I can say it the right way. And a lot of others did not do that.
How do you say it again?
Seibert.
But this one right here, tell him right before he would go on air, and he called the guy's name wrong.
JP, yeah, that happens so many times.
That's true. I don't know why. I was able to lock this one in. I get anxiety
sometimes. But you've done it for like 3 or 4 different names already.
So that's why I was saying Seifert gets Seibert 40%.
God forbid I got to say Taffer. What's Big Vic's last name?
Taffer,
dude.
Yeah, that one gives me trouble.
Jaden gets 20%. B-Rob, 20%. Controversially, the defense, 10%. They only gave up 3 touchdowns. 21 points is actually not that many points to give up in the NFL.
They only gave up 18.
Well, okay, no. They gave up 3 touchdowns. Noah Brown.
It was Daniel Jones.
Noah Brown gets 5% for getting open in that critical play there. And then Austin Ekeler, I feel like he was responsible for that hamstring pull. Because he took it back.
Yeah, took it back.
House call, baby. How about this as a question just for the four of us? How encouraged through 2 games do you feel about Jaden Daniels? Knowing all the things, knowing that he's taken a bunch of hits early, they haven't scored any passing touchdowns, but damn, this offense looks more efficient than it has in a long time.
I am very optimistic. Because I understand what people say, but I know he'll change up some things. And he's a young guy. He's he was in his second game. And what do young people do? When they see color, they get ready to go. When he's about 6-7 games into his career, he won't go quickly on color. When he's about 2-3 years in his career, he'll just slide, you know, slide over to deliver a pass or something. But everybody, I'm amazed that everyone expects perfection soon as somebody steps on the football field, basketball court, baseball diamond, whatever. And in your own lives, you've been doing stuff 15, 20, 30 years, and you're not perfect at it yet. But you want him to be perfect in his second game. He's going to learn. But I tell you right now, I'm happier watching him than I've watched quarterbacks over the last however many years it's been.
Hadn't felt like this in a while.
That's what I'm saying. So like,
hadn't felt like this in a while.
I'm not going to say who. Jeff told us somebody was talking about we should have kept Heinicke or what's called.
Well, that person's an idiot.
Straight up. So let's be real. But those two together, Heinicke and what's we just left here?
Howell.
Yeah. Those two together is not better than Jaden. So I mean, it's like people got some craziness, and I like to listen to whatever somebody got to say. Everybody has an opinion, but like when you say something stupid, I can't stay quiet.
Phone lines open until 1:30 when Barry's for Luga will join us. Call, you're getting in. Don't worry. A lot of conversation with the boys. What's the credit pie look like? How encouraged are you with Jaden Daniels through two games? Nobody. Go anywhere.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I follow Kevin Cole on Twitter. Used to be Pro Football Focus, started his own website. He's a data analytics guy. It's only two games. His sample size is incredibly small. If you want to be dismissive, dismiss away. Who am I to tell you what to do? Quarterback efficiency, EPA per play, expected points above average, expected points added, rather. Nobody saw this one coming. Derek Carr is top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
Plus point. He's plus a half point every play.
15 possessions, 15 scores.
0.56 for Derek Carr. It's been a really impressive opener.
And he was not that last year.
No.
Or year before.
Ever.
Then, or in his career.
Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Landini.
Mm.
Guess who's sixth?
Who?
Jaden.
All right.
That's league-wide.
All right.
I don't know what's going to happen here, but there's a man of the cloth on the line, and I know when he's on hold too long, he threatens my guy Jeff, J-Dogs Forever. Hello, Rev T. How do you do?
Man, I'm good, JP. See, it's Victory Monday, and what folks got to understand what's happening with JD5 is he's starting to bring hope alive back into the VMV. And what they saw up in Northwest Stadium yesterday was the young boy was getting protection, and he was making progression. And at the end of the day, I'm all in it. You got a team trying to find out who they are to tell people where they from. And so I say they starting to look like the mighty Commanders. Hey, man, I'm all in. This Victory Monday. Put all them negative vibes aside, man, and celebrate like it ain't no tomorrow. Hey, man, I'm good with this. 1-1, let's keep having the fun. Hey, JP, hey, B-Mitch, hey, Jeff, guess what? Why not us? Why not us? Y'all know who this is. The people's hype, man, stand with me on Victory Monday. Red Chief, believe, baby. Why not us? The mighty Commanders. Let's go.
Uh-oh.
Thank you, Reverend.
I'm another fan now.
Now, I understand that the Reverend might play by his own rules, Landfill, but I don't believe he actually gave us a credit pie. Did you hear that, Brian? Was there one in there?
He said some people were doing some good things. they got JD is bringing hope back to the DMV.
JD5 is keeping hope alive. No one can spin a wrestling promo like the Reverend. Nick is in Charleston. Nick, what up, dude?
What's up, fellas? I'd like to give my 100% credit pie split up against or across the entire 11 guys on the kick return team. I know some guys already said it. But that first play, even with the holding, who knows if there's no holding, maybe Eckler's not sprinting all the way down and Gano's not falling behind them and, pulling that hammy, which, changed the rest of the game. So that's where I'd like to give all 100% to.
So 100% goes to the first play of the game when Graham Gano pulled his hammy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, what, they had to go for two twice that fourth down? The game where neighbors dropped the ball, they could have kicked the field goal there. Changed the whole landscape of the game. You never want to root for someone to get hurt, but, that's just how it rolled yesterday, and I think that's a major part of it.
All right. Thank you, bro. Appreciate you, Nick.
Like Russell Wilson White said, that's just how we roll. What it is.
It certainly made a huge impact, obviously.
Hey, man. It is a part of football, though.
Drew is on the line. Drew fed Jeff yesterday. What up, Drew?
Hey, guys. So you know I like to cook. And I'm going to tell you about the credit pie. But my credit pie is not done yet. It's still being made. And the good news is we got some ingredients that we haven't been able to put in the credit pie in a while. And so we got coaches that can make positive halftime adjustments. We got a quarterback that's going to be a bad man. And we got a general manager that's still finding us more ingredients. So when this pie is baked, it's going to come out and taste delicious, and it's going to have a flavor we haven't had in a while, and that's the flavor that makes other teams afraid to play this team. And we're not there yet, but you could see us going that way, and when that comes out of the oven, it's going to taste sweet. So
thank you, Drew. Good call, dude. Thank you, buddy. I want to have a conversation. So here's what we're going to do. I want to have a brief conversation about the fans. I thought the crowd was pretty damn good yesterday.
I thought they were hype yesterday.
All right, we'll see.
Even after the game.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I want to let everybody on the phones finish up, and then I do want to go around the league. Barry Sferluga is going to join us at 1:30. Let's go to Shane in Oxon Hill. What up, Shane? Shane, you got to turn that radio down, buddy. Man. Jeff, I'm going to let you talk to him. We'll try Tony. Tony on line 3. Tony, what up, dude?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. I just want to say we got to relax, man. Like, this is going to be a work in progress, man. I think, with it being 20-plus years of mediocrity, we get overwhelmed and get too hyped. Like, you just got to trust the process. Like, they're going to get it together. Jalen's fine. As far as the defense, like, a lot of those guys didn't play preseason. Like, they still catching up. Like, I'm cool with where we're at. I just want to see progression, and I want us to compete. And that's what I saw yesterday. I'll take the 7 field goals. A win is a win at the end of the day.
There you go.
Happy Victory Monday. Y'all enjoy it. Savor it. There's some more to come. But, we just got to be patient, man. Like, we got to trust the process. We got football people making football moves. And that's what it's going to be.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the call, brother. Tony. It's a good call. I also think there's something to be said. This is from the first round draft pick on Twitter. He said 50% to Seibert for obvious reasons, 40% to the offense. We haven't mentioned this, and this is a good point. They dominated time of possession in this thing.
Yeah.
And
for two games.
That, when I talk about the offensive efficiency, I get that there's like this analytical community that doesn't like how Terry McLaurin, the majority of the time, lines up on the left side, and they think everything's too A-dot, that they're not getting much in the pass game down the field, and that, you know, everything's at the line of scrimmage. But, dude, I think if you've looked at this offense through two games, it's leaps and bounds better than last year, probably than the last 5 years. I think in the second half of both games, a lot of the early stuff that is at the line of scrimmage, kind of playing horizontally instead of vertically, it sets something up later that allows for big plays. You know, yes, last week, if they had just hit the shot to Terry, that entire situation is different. Jaden missed him. There's going to be misses, but like, don't act like that deep shot wasn't there. The throw to Noah Brown yesterday, one of the last plays of that game, arguably the biggest offensive play of that game for Washington. There were some big B-Rob runs in there too. I'm not trying to discount anything, but I mean, that was a 34-yard gain coming out of the 2-minute warning in a tie game. And I caution fans and folks to not hear something and then just decide that that's a fact. Like, it seems like people are surprised Kingsbury runs the ball as often as they do.
But we complain about not running it all last year. Now they're running it effectively,
right?
And that's a problem.
It should be a dream. When Kliff had things cooking in Arizona, James Conner and Chase Edmonds ran the hell out of the football. They have very clearly tried to recreate that with Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler. That's a good thing, folks.
Yes.
That's a good thing.
If you establish that running game, that passing game becomes a lot easier.
Shane is back. Shane, what you got, bud?
What's going on, fellas, man?
What's up, brother?
I just want to say that I'm going to give my man Siebert, I'm going to give him about 40%. All right? So I'm going to give B-Rob 30, and then I'm going to give my man St. Juice another 30. You could split B-Rob and Eckler's 30, man. I guess you can get them 15 or 14. But, and I just wanted to piggyback on that and say also, man, you know, it's the tone surrounding the team starting to get, you know, just letting us build and develop things. I think that's the way that it should have been the whole offseason. And I got a lot of flack from a lot of people for being a realist and saying that I don't believe that the team was ready to compete this year, or, you know what I'm saying? And if we do, and if we overachieve, great. But I think we got to set the bar as a rebuild and always remind that. But I heard a lot of 10-win predictions and stuff. We ain't going to get into all that.
You didn't hear him on this program. You did not hear him on this program.
I got killed for being a realist last week, you know what I'm saying? But I just want to say that, man, we just got to be patient with the team. We know that we don't have that many pieces right now, but we just got to let the young guys grow, guys like Jaden and you know, Ben Sennett and just like Johnny Newsom, you know, we got to let these guys develop and let Adam Peters get more draft classes in. And when that comes along, I think we're going to hit on some, you know, key free agents and stuff like that. But it's a thing that's going to happen over time, man. And I think that we just got to temp our expectations. Yes, we got the W. It was a beautiful dub. I want to also say Kliff Kingsbury looked great in the second half with his play call, and I think he picked it up. I want to give him his kudos to that, you know what I'm saying, with the run game and stuff like that. I think we did better.
Thanks,
so,
bud.
Yeah, that's it.
That's a good call. Thanks for calling back, too, Shane. Appreciate you checking us out.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's do this. When we come back, I want to talk about the actual stadium, about the vibe, about the crowd. 1 o'clock, I want to go around the NFL. It's a busy, busy, busy day on B. Mitch and Finley.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. With the record heat this summer, I know your air conditioner took a beating and your current brand is not cutting it through this humidity. So now is the time to switch to Rood. Take advantage of Rood's $2,000 tax credits, and Maryland residents can even score exclusive rebates from Rood. I personally switched my house over to Rood, and the difference is night and day. So trust me and visit Rood.com to find your savings. That's RUUD.com to see why they're the MVP of cooling. And remember, if it ain't rude, it ain't right.
Beavich and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. All right, home opener for the Commanders yesterday. Northwest Stadium, new stadium name. I walked through the main concourse, say 12:30, 12:45. Mm-hmm. One thing that was really great is I saw a player that I know fairly well. His wife was there with a baby, and they were trying to get to the new family area mm-hmm. that the team built.
Yep.
And I was happy to see that the team recognized that was a hole, and they took care of it. And she had a baby they needed to eat, and a baby. And it's mm-hmm. like, it's cool that there's a place for this now.
Yep.
And that, like when Josh Harris says, I'm not an F-minus guy, words do not matter. Actions matter.
Mm-hmm.
So what did they do? They fixed it. They changed it immediately.
Totally.
You know, I go to that game for a different function. I am working, and it's like kind of a long, busy, active day. But for fans to go, it's supposed to just be fun. I imagine as a fan being at that game, as much as there were some frustrating points with not scoring and everything, doesn't that seem like it'd be a fun game to go to, down to the wire?
It seemed fun, down to the wire. But I think just walking in there yesterday, and even something since I was at the last preseason game. So I remember I've been all in and out that stadium, all over the place. It seems more welcoming. That you're going to some of the suites now, and they look like real suites instead of just a damn little dungeon that they threw out there. They have nice furniture. They have paint jobs. Over the last 5 to 7, 8 years, they weren't doing anything in that damn stadium.
Dude, you
it
know,
looks tremendous now.
You know the tunnel where the Commanders come out of the locker room,
yeah,
out onto the field? Mm-hmm. You know those little bathrooms to the right there?
Yeah.
Those bathrooms look like a college bar at midnight.
It looked like most bathrooms that you have in a basement look.
Right.
Like they just threw a toilet in it with concrete.
I noticed this yesterday when we were doing the post game. I had to run in there to pee, basically. I'll tell the truth. Left hand up. They redid that bathroom.
They redid everything over there.
And, dude, like, I only know this from our friend Greg. They put the LVP, the luxury vinyl planking down. They painted.
Yeah.
Something as simple as, like, just a garbage, not a, a paper towel dispenser thing.
Yeah.
It went from the bathroom was previously like a -3 out of 10. Now it's like a 7 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a 10%, that's 100% growth.
If you have a 7 you on the bathroom in that area, that's a hell of a number.
Yo, because that's never going to be a nice, well-kept area. That's mm-hmm. like, there's nothing but players and refs and sweat and gloves and tape. You know what I mean?
It's a little better because I think some of the people from that little bar area
sure
go over there as
now
well.
Now you got the Tunnel Club, and it's a different clientele. In general, I thought the crowd was good. I thought they were loud. There were a bunch of Giants fans. I don't know if anybody read it. Nikki Jabala had that story over the weekend in the Post, kind of just recapping all of the changes and challenges that the new ownership group faced. And there was a portion in there that I found interesting that, like, there are multi-year contracts with these ticket brokers that they are trying to unravel,
mm-hmm.
but they're contracts. So some of them just remain where these ticket brokers buy up all these tickets and sell them to out-of-town fans. Like the Giants, the Cowboys, the Eagles, they're still all going to be there for a while.
Yeah.
And that's not going to change overnight.
But I think, like people act as if there weren't other fans in RFK. There were.
There were also a ton of burgundy and gold in Tampa.
Yeah, I'm saying. So it's like, but you got to realize those people that own the teams are going to, they want to sell it to their fans. But if you're not trying to get them early, guess what they're going to sell them to? Whoever wants to buy them. Now, I understand.
The problem is they're getting, like, first crack at them, and that'll change.
They were taking over. That stuff will change after you get to the point. It will change. But, hell, I saw fans in RFK. Just like when we go to Kansas City. You see other people fans in Kansas City, and they win all the time.
It's very few stadiums get taken over with the frequency and regularity Washington does.
Yeah.
But I think, you know what else will really help that? Winning games.
There you go.
Jeff, you went to the game as a fan. How was that experience?
I can honestly say for the first time, it felt good. Like, not like for the, like completely, but, you know, last year going to FedEx was, all right, man, we're all about to go get drunk and then just enjoy the atmosphere of the crowd. Hopefully we can pull out, you know, this win.
Whoa, pause.
It seemed like that's a reach.
Just
that's
said, a reach. Just say, yo, we're going to all get drunk and then hopefully we pull out.
But yesterday, oh boy, getting lit with the fans, it wasn't like, oh, man, we suck this year. Da, da, da. It was more so like, hey, yo, we got a promising future. Let's get tore up. The season might not play out how we want it, but it's looking up. The whole atmosphere, it felt different. It felt more inviting, like you said. Even the, what's that, the Pepsi tent and stuff that they do with the little fan section coming in on certain sides. I think it's by the G parking lot or H parking lot. It was a lot going on. Also, they were a little, well, from my experience, they were a little bit more lenient on, like, the tailgate and afterwards.
It won.
Yeah. last year, it seemed like, win or lose last year, it seemed like, all right, the game's over. Everyone, hurry up and get out of the parking lot.
You still had other people influencing it, the rules.
Yeah, but now.
The real people now are influencing the rules, and you got a better little mindset.
Yeah. It was cool.
I thought it was cool. I think eventually when they get the hang of those, like, serve-yourself markets, I don't know what those are actually called, but where you just walk in, you grab a beer and a bag of peanuts, and you walk out, and it, like, charges your phone. I think when that stuff starts to work well, it...
Yeah, I trust something with that, don't you, Jay?
I think it'll
really
like
to grab stuff and walk
speed
out.
Speed that just process
keep moving
up.
You.
Landini, you were the only one to watch a game on TV, which is a different experience. What did the crowd look like, sound like? What kind of impact did the crowd seem to have on the game?
I didn't get a good, really, picture of, the kind of split of the fans from watching it, but it did sound like there were a lot of Giants fans there. That's kind of one of the reasons
there were
that I was curious about, because every time they did something good, which wasn't that frequently, but there seemed to be a decent amount of Giants fans there.
I'd say behind the Giants bench was pretty solidly Giant fan, and there were times where they seemed to make a impact. But I don't know. It wasn't overwhelming. I also think, like, I think the Giants fans have kind of turned on the Giants and just kind of hate them right now, so that's why there probably were fewer Giants fans there than other situations. So Wale played a concert at halftime. One thing, I have now been at enough other stadiums when they have real performers come in for halftime. They put them up on a stage somewhere. Like the Ravens do it, the Falcons do it. Like I've been in enough stadiums where they do this. Only Jerry really still does it on the field. And I think it helps so much being able to turn it over fast because you have a stage built out. I thought that was a really smart kind of step in the advancement of the game product. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Was that Wale had an area rather than they didn't have to, like, because I don't know if you remember.
Slick Rick did something at something I did over at the stadium, and Slick Rick was performing out there Wale was performing at.
You and I were at Ravens last winter. When we went and saw them play the Bengals when Burrow broke his wrist. And I want to say it was Big Boy performed in that, like, lower level section. Mm-hmm. And then you play the audio and you can put it up on the big screen and it works out. All in all, I think it was a good day for FedEx Field. I think, you know, there's this dude, Jeff, maybe you can help me with this. These people keep sending me this guy's videos. I assume this dude is kidding. Like Gridiron or something. I can't remember his name, but he comes up with these outrageous complaints and posts these videos, and people are like, oh my God. I'm pretty sure they're satire, and I hope people can understand that. Doesn't mean everything's going to go perfect. It's still a really old building. The sound yesterday was pretty bad, but ideally, they're going to get it going. And above all, fans left happy because there was a win.
Yeah.
You know the last time that happened? The last time there was a home win?
Long time.
Week one of last year, over a year ago.
Still a long time.
Nobody go anywhere. We're going around the NFL next.